lot of people, just, I know after I was saved, I had trouble with it. And I know that a lot of people have trouble with it. And it's something I preached when I first came over here. So I went line by line, verse by verse, used the Bible, didn't have any overhead projector, any of that stuff. The Lord told Thomas, Thomas said to the Lord had just said, "For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." But he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and that you may be there where I am also." And so this upset, the disciples didn't understand what he was talking about. You say, "How do you know that?" Well, rather than, just as soon as it closed, the first thing Thomas asked him was, "Lord, where is the way? Where are you going? What is this about?" A lot of people have the idea that the apostles understood everything they understood and needed to understand before they wrote the Bible. That isn't true. Jesus revealed a whole lot more to them after they actually started going around and teaching and preaching, and as they wrote it, as they saw what happened, it was recorded. But when they were going down to Jerusalem, the Lord, if you'll check the book of Mark, the Lord told him, he said, "I'm going down there." It was pretty plain. He said, "I'm going down there. They're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me." And he said, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's in Mark. Look it up for yourself. And there it is. And when they got down there, it was like they didn't know what he was talking about. The truth of the matter is the disciples learned a whole lot more from Jesus after he had ascended into heaven. The Lord said, "What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." So Jesus ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit began to teach them. And they learned an awful lot after Jesus went up to heaven by the Holy Spirit, which is his Spirit. And they began to preach and teach what they were learning as they went along. If you don't understand that, you make a lot of mistakes in interpreting the Bible. Because they didn't have the full package, all of it. Jesus gave it to them. But they didn't understand it until after he had ascended into heaven. And they were taught by the Holy Spirit, and they recorded it unto us. That is why I only use the King James translation. I believe that the King James translation was the one that God meant for us to use. It is what I use. Can I interpret Greek? Yes. Can I interpret Hebrew? Yes. Well, what do you do? Well, I just go through and interpret what the words say, show you where they mean, prove to you that they mean what I say, and they're better understood now in our vernacular than they were back then. So I'm going to start off by talking about something that has to do with first comes the way. Jesus told Thomas, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Well, first comes the way. When you get saved, you start to learn the way. You say, do you know all of it? Heavens, no. You're not even sure of your security when you get saved. That's the first thing you have to learn. I know some people, I've known people in my time here at the church, in the last 43 years, and before I ever came here, in churches that my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather organized in the Missionary Baptist Church up in Missouri, and then he came on down there and did two or three more down here in Arkansas, and the last one was one up where I'm from, up around the Cave City and in that general area up at a place called Zion Hill. Now, after you're saved, you can learn the way. You say, but now that I'm saved, I knew that a long time. No, you didn't, because you're scared to death. You were scared to death of hell, and you couldn't understand zip. But when God opened the door for you, and the Holy Spirit convicted your heart, then you had the ability to understand, and God saved your soul. That's it. It's complete. It's forever. It's never ending. And you learned that after you were saved, because you doubted your salvation. And a man tells me he never doubted his salvation, he's a liar. Because that's the way it goes. The way is the truth. Okay, what is the truth? How do you learn the truth? Well, I'm going to talk about that. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's go down to verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Why did they want a better resurrection? Because there is a better resurrection. If I had not believed until I was 2-4 minutes before death, the Catholics call them deathbed mix, the Lord would still have saved me. There are a lot of people that want to wait, and a lot of them get caught because they do it. But the truth of the matter is, once you get saved eternally, and Jesus says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you learn that, and you say, oh, well, now I know the truth. No, there's a lot more to that. It's true you are saved eternally the moment you're saved. It is also true that you've got an awful lot to learn afterwards. He says, I am the way. You have to be saved. You have to know him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so we come to the Father, and we begin to learn the Word, and we begin to see that Jesus is a living, functioning Son of God. We accepted him as God when we got saved, Son of God, and here we are learning still. People wonder, why do some people just stop coming to church? After they get saved, they're all excited. People come by and shake their hand, and everything goes real well, and they just tickle to death about it, and rightly so. But then after a while, the first time that they're offended about something, they just run away from it. And just like the seed, there is no problem with the seed. The seed is a living word of God, God himself incarnate in human flesh. That's the seed. It has no flaws in it whatsoever. The problem is the ground that receives it. Some never receive it, as in the parable of the sower in Luke. But I'm going to go to that, and I'm going to go as slowly as I can to try to get us out of here on time. He says, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, in that they obtained a better resurrection. What is a better resurrection? Is it true that Jesus obtained the full inheritance? Is it true that Jesus is God? Is there not an inheritance, according to Ephesians, that in heaven itself there is reserved for those who believe an inheritance? Well, you have been around for a long time. You've been in missionary Baptist churches a long time. You know there's inheritance, but how much of the inheritance do you want? How much inheritance do you want? Where do you want to live in heaven? What kind of a better resurrection is it? How glorious do you want your body to be? You want to shine like the sun, or the moon, or the stars, or the smaller stars? What do you want to shine like? You say, well, everybody's going to look the same, just like we used to all live in the same kind of housing during the war. Everybody built the same kind of house. No, people in heaven are going to look differently. If you don't believe me, go over and read in the first chapter of Corinthians, chapter 15, down around verse 40, and read on through to the end of it. It makes a difference whether you serve God or not, and I'm going to talk about that. That's the truth. Did I know that when I got saved? No, I did not know that. You say, what about some of the preachers I said over? They didn't know that either. You say, well, you weren't a missionary Baptist. Well, I'm a missionary Baptist are supposed to be actually seeking the truth. Most of them don't stay in church long enough to learn the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The last comes the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in heaven. In heaven. You got a long way to go till you get to heaven. When you die, your old nature's going to the grave, period. Your old nature's going to be there until he's resurrected. Your soul's going to be to heaven. Your soul's going to heaven. If you don't believe me, just take a look at the sixth chapter of Revelation. You'll discover that they're all around the throne in heaven, souls, living souls. People say, well, your mom's in a better place now. The place is called heaven. And so there's a lot of bodies out there in the grave that have yet to be resurrected. You say, well, what is it? Do you believe in soul sleep? No, I believe the carnal nature has changed. And I believe that's the reason for the first resurrection. And I believe that he's changed. But he's not changed till the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus, till the rapture of the tribulation period. And then more are going to be saved in the millennium. I've taught you that, and I can prove it. It's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So there's an awful lot to learn about the Bible. When I grew up, we didn't even have seminaries. I remember one time a teacher at the seminary, I won't tell you his name, but I liked it. He was a wonderful man. He was from the old school. He was raised up around Strawberry, where I was raised. I was raised up around Zion Hill and through that area. And he got up for class in seminary at Little Rock, and he said, I just don't know how we ever made it out there in the woods, because the church he's talking about, you had to go through a creek bottom, Rock Creek bottom, to get there. And sometimes it flooded and you couldn't get there because there's only one way in, one way out. And so he said, I don't know how we ever made it. All we had was the King James, was all we had was the King James, the Holy Spirit, and the King James translation. Now that's the truth. He said, that's all I had. Well, that's all you need. You say, well, do you need seminaries? Yes. But only because the people don't stay long enough in the church for the people to listen to them, where God can call them and they can pass the truth on. I went through seminaries and all that stuff. But the truth of the matter, and they're great. They're wonderful. I love the teachers. I love the seminaries. I got nothing bad to say about them. But the truth of the matter is a lot of preachers quit studying. And a lot of preachers don't pass the full load on to them because it's very wearisome. I got four different lenses in these glasses. And it's because I have studied this, I have prayed, I have asked God to show me, to give me humility, to give me understanding, to give me wisdom. I've asked for all these things. You say, well, you think he's giving it to you? I don't have the foggiest idea, but I know I have asked him, and I know that I like to preach the word, and so that's what I'm doing for you right now. Now, let's talk about this better resurrection. Let's go over to, Galatians 6 and 7. Galatians 6 and 7. It's supposed to be over here somewhere. It took John James 3 years to preach through Galatians. You remember that, Kenneth?
Yes. I don't think he finished
it. Oh, it was awful. He'd say, I'm going to review it. He'd preach the same thing he preached the week before. I can't say much. I do pretty much the same thing. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That was written to save people. I can be even more definitive. That was written to the church members at Galatia. That's who it was written to. Well, we got some of this in their church members, in scriptural churches. We got some here. Most of you here are members in scriptural churches. Most of you are members here. And let me just put it to you plainly. You can be deceived. You can deceive yourself. And a lot of people, missionary Baptists bring a lot of, they take a lot of time preaching. Salvation by grace, security of the believer. And they should. And I do. They preach a lot of time preaching about the rapture. Hallelujah. And they should. They preach about a lot of things that are very attractive to people and make people feel good inside. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's written to a church at Galatia. Well, I'm saved. The way, the truth, the life. After I got saved, I discovered I was saved. Eternally saved. But I was saved the instant I asked Christ to save me. I was saved by faith when I realized Jesus wasn't a dead man. He was very much alive. And he was the one who would save me if I would simply call upon his name. I called upon his name. He saved me. It's that simple. That was settled. But what wasn't settled was, can I do something to disjoint this, to make it wrong? God will take it back? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've preached. There is no question, absolutely, positively, without question, you cannot lose your salvation, period. That's it. Well, people like to hear that. And then they also like to hear about the rapture. That they're going to be taken out of here. They're not going to have any problems or troubles. We're gone. Well, that's all right. They're saved. They're not going to hell. I guarantee you that. And so, but I tell you, this rapture thing, if you think you got that all figured out, you're in a class all by yourself. God knows when it's going to occur, and so do I. Because I know what the scripture says, and I know what was taught before 1740, and what is taught now was not taught before 1740. So that's one thing, but that's not the thing I want to deal with here today. So I'm not going to talk about the rapture. But you can pastor a church for a long time and preach on subjects that make people purr like kittens. Just make them so happy and so joyous, and they feel so good about themselves, and they walk out and say, I really like that preacher. I do impersonations. Anyway, I really like that. He says, oh, that's so good. I went to the first church I ever preached at. It was down in Hope, Arkansas. And I went through and I was, I think it was the first church I ever preached in. And I was going through seminary and I went down there and I preached against long hair. I preached against short hair, hair here. I preached against guitars, banjos, Lord. I preached about everything under the sun I could think of. And finally they all come out and they hugged me and said, "That's a wonderful message." And pretty soon this last little woman came out, she said, "How come you didn't get them long-haired hippies?" And I learned then that you can't preach against sin all the time, against everybody else sinning. You've got to make everybody people understand it. You're just as bad as they are because you're doing stuff that's worse that you don't even realize about. So that's the truth. Now, I'm going to talk about, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, this has a lot to do with people that are, these are safe people. And a lot of people, I've had preachers say to me, and I didn't understand it for a long time, why do these people that were all so, everybody was so all excited when they got saved, and they were so excited and jumped up around like a bunch of picnic hoppers, and then all of a sudden, somebody said something that hurt their feelings and they're gone. They're not just gone from the church there. They're gone forever because they got offended. Well, okay. Let's go over and let's take a look at, I got pieces of paper stuck in there so I can probably reach them sooner than you can. Let's see, because I stuck these in there at 5 o'clock this morning. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. I already had the message prepared and everything for today, and my stomach was killing me. And this came to me. So I said, well, I'll just go ahead and preach what I'm going to. You're not even going to preach the condition you're in. I got up and I started working on it, and I finished it, and I got all these little pings in here where I can pull it out and turn over to it. This one says, let's see. Well, let's go over and see where I had that. If I can find it. Five through ten. I'm giving you time to get there. John 14:5-10. You say, why'd you do that? Because we got one preacher in this church. I won't call his name, but you all know who he is. I've rebuked him several times, but doesn't do a bit of good. And I tell him, I say, they can't keep up with you. He'll say, and now let's turn to John 10:20. And now let's turn to Sam 23. And you know who he is. But don't try to correct him. He ain't going to take any correction whatsoever. And he's the best friend I got. In any case, when I grew up in our churches, they gave those scriptures out so fast, I couldn't keep up with them. I was a teenager. Well, at the time I was saved, I was 12. But I was a teenager. I couldn't keep up with those things. From the time I'd get through with them, he'd say, well, I'll read this. Blah, 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 blah. And then I'd probably go there read it. Then he'd say, now let's turn to. So I just always determined I was going to try to get people time to study them and look at it and make up their own cotton-picking mind about it. Okay, let's go to John. I told Terry, I said, I ain't preached like this for a long time. I said, I sure hope I don't get mixed up in this. Well, Terry, I have gotten mixed up in this. Let's see, 14. It's all your fault, Terry. Write that down. Okay, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. The real word is abode. Well, in a mansion's abode, that's not a mistranslation. I'll preach it either way. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Okay, who's he talking to? 11 disciples. You look back in chapter 13 and Judas Iscariot has bailed out. He's gone, G-O-N-E. He is gone to betray Christ. So this is to the 11 disciples. They're the only ones there. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. okay, I got saved when I believed Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and realized that if he hadn't done that, I would have gone straight to hell. I was afraid of hell. I realized that much. But I didn't realize about the heavenly Jerusalem, a new city. I didn't know the dimensions of it. I didn't know about what people meant when they walked by the casket and said, he's in a better place. Please, when you go by my casket, do not say, he's in a better place. If you don't know anything about it, how do you know it's a better place? And the truth is, so many people keep running away from the truth that they don't want any part of it. They don't like to think about death. Man, I love to think about death. The quicker the better. The Lord's already won the victory over that. It's over. It's settled. It's finished. And I'm looking forward to it. But people that don't come to church don't really want to continue because it bothers them. God saved you to change you. And that's what it's all about. Now he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Do you realize that Jesus Christ fulfilled the three offices of the Trinity? He fulfilled the office of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Let me tell you who's living inside me right now. Jesus Christ. Let me tell you who Jesus Christ is. Well, he's in the Father. Tell me who the Father is. Well, he's in Jesus Christ. Tell me who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is both the Father and the Son. You say, how do you pray? How do you understand that? Very simple. It's so simple, it's beyond understanding. I believe in a Trinity. I believe that God, there's one God, and God fulfilled the Trinity. God fulfilled it himself. I don't have to sit around and wonder who God is, who Jesus is. I'll tell you who God is. He's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't worry about a lot of things. Now, a lot of people that listen to the Word of God, they sit around wondering, do I really know the truth? Well, you won't know the full truth until you're resurrected from the dead. Now, you will know the full truth, but your body will be laying out there in the grave, and your body contains the old carnal nature. And when that gets changed, then you'll know and understand better by and by. I know people that are called seekers that run around seeking for the truth all their life, and they never find it. They never find it. I found it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I found it. You say, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you about it. You say, well, what are we going to do with it? Well, you see if you believe it. See if it's true. Check the Bible out. It is true. Man, my Savior is a lot more than Jesus Christ. He's Almighty God. He's the Holy Spirit. And he's the Father. Why did Jesus tell them? Why did he say that he told one of them, he said, I have to leave now. But he said that for if I do not go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Well, why couldn't the Holy Spirit come if there's three separate individuals? He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Father. He is the Son. There is one God. In the beginning of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what the word is? Jehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah created the... You say, well, we ought to start praying to Jehovah. No, just pray to Jesus. And when you pray the Lord's Prayer, pray to the Father. Just pray like you said. Don't worry about all this. You can't understand it completely. And you will not understand it in this life. So you might as well quit thinking that you just go, you've got to get all this at one time. I used to think that if I studied hard enough, I could get this and I could understand it and it would be pretty crystal clear. I studied this from sunrise to sunset and I finally figured it out. Jesus is God. And that's it. And so I'm happy. You say, well, do you think you know everything? Not in a minute. Because I learned something every year I didn't know before. It used to be every week. But you say, where'd you get it? From the Bible. From God. Jesus said, what and if you shall see the Son of Man as before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. You say, well, did you ever preach in the flesh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that. David was loafing, looking, lusting, and losing. Real cute message, isn't it? How long does it... What did they teach you it meant? What did they teach you it meant? When I started out, I just had a bunch of train messages and stuff. People getting on a train. This one train was salvation. The other was this, this, and that. You said, well, Brother McElmurray, you should have known right away. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, but when I came a man, I put away childish things. You know what we have left? This. This is what we got left. I am not a prophet. The law and the prophets were until John. I am a child. I am a child who understands that he has to trust Christ for everything. Anything good that comes out of me was Jesus speaking himself. But most of the stuff that comes out of me is stuff that I thought up. But that I'm not much that way anymore. And I'm still learning. If you think that you can stop learning once you've been through the seminary, or once you've done this or done that, you're mistaken. You're supposed to keep learning all of your life. And every time I preach, I learn something new I didn't know before. I've been here 43 years. That's a long time. And I don't preach the same message all the time. I'm just putting something here together that I got at 5 o'clock this morning thinking about all the things I'd preached here. Okay. Hey, and now, let's take a look at... Let's take a look at Luke. Now, before we go to Luke, let's go to John. I hate all these things. I wish my computer wasn't out, because I'd rather just hand all these scriptures completely filled out on two sheets, and you could follow me right along, and you could say, well, I don't believe that. And you'd be looking at the Word of God, and you'd be right if your conclusion was correct. Now let's go over to Luke. Let's go over to Luke chapter 8. And let's see something that's in there. This may be as big a surprise to me as you. I made this up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I won't guarantee anything. Oh, my stomach's still hurting, but for some reason, I felt like this is something I needed to preach this morning. I preached it before, long, long time ago, but I never got all this quite together. He says, well, maybe I ought to look at one other one before I look at that. Is that what you think? Terry, I was afraid this was going to happen. But I told the Lord to see me through it. So we'll just see what this says. Okay. This is a scripture that has caused people, I believe a lot of people, to err. Either one is correct. This is John, first chapter of John. We're going to look starting at verse 12. No, let's go back to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Who created the world? Jehovah. That's the word that's used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Jehovah created the heavens and the earth. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Do you know that Jesus is God? Do you know it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus was there in the very beginning? Do you know that Jesus fulfilled three offices? Jesus first fulfilled the office of Jehovah as the creator of the universe. He fulfilled the office of the Son as the one who the creator of the universe sent, the Father. And then he became the Holy Spirit. He fulfilled the office of the Holy Spirit. And he had to go back to heaven for the completion of the work before he could come back as the Holy Spirit. That's the way it was all planned out. Do you know that God had a plan for your life from the moment you were created? And do you know it was not God's will that you go to hell? It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You realize that? You realize God doesn't send anybody to hell. God never intended for man to go to hell. God knew what would happen before the foundation of the world, before he ever made man. He knew Adam would fail. But this is the way you have a choice. The angels had a choice. They made their choice. They're stuck in it. And they cannot repent and go back. They know there's a God. You know there's a God. Congratulations. You know there's a God. You know it. But you have a chance for redemption. You have a chance for redemption because God does not lay the sins of your fathers upon you. Nobody's going to hell because God wanted them to go. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1 and 10. You think they crucified him because he claimed to be the Messiah? You really believe that? That's not true. He said, I and the Father are one. And they took up stones to cast at him. They crucified him because he claimed to be God. And when he was delivered before the high priest, all he had to do was just renounce what he believed. But he was God. The high priest, they couldn't prove it against him. They had witnesses, everything. They didn't make any sense. So finally the high priest just stood up, tore his clothes, which is what they did when they thought they had heard that heresy toward the Father or toward the one God. And they said, can anyone deny judgment against him having heard what he has said? Blasphemy. They labeled him as blasphemous. When the high priest said, tell us who thou art. Art thou the Father? Are you God? He said, thou sayest that I am. Which is the Hebrew way of saying, yes, I am. They crucified him because he claimed to be God. That was taught quite vividly in the early churches, the early missionary Baptist churches, but it changed during the Dark Ages. And they began to make up, the Catholic Church began to make up a Trinity that it isn't true. The way they teach it, there aren't three gods. There's only one God. His name is Jesus Christ. He happens to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray the Lord's Prayer. I pray to Jesus. I know who he is. But do I think I've learned all truth? Oh, no. Lord, there's more to this than I have ever realized before in my life, and I'm not a heretic. What I teach is strictly in the Bible. You can tell it for yourself. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to the people he had chose to spread the gospel, but they didn't spread it. They just hunkered together and became isolated and became what you would call they're progressive, but they're called legalist. We are not legalist. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God is not legalism. To believe that Jesus is God is not legalism. To teach and preach the Word of God is not legalism. We are interested in people going to heaven. We leave a lot of it up to God. And when we feel an impulse to talk to somebody, we go. Or when somebody comes to us, we talk to them. We are not legalist. Not at all. We believe legalism is a failure to teach the Word of God. And legalism is certainly not what it is chalked up to be by most churches. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now here's where a lot of people, I think, make a boo-boo. But as I wouldn't preach this for a long time because I just wasn't sure of it. And I don't preach anything I'm not sure of. And then if I'm sure of it, God doesn't bother me about it. Later on I find I'm wrong. I sure don't blame God. It's me. He says, for as many as received him. Okay, let's talk about receiving him. Did the man in the parable of the sower, did he receive him? Yeah. No. He did not receive him, did he? That's what it says. But as many as received him. The man in the parable of the sower, the first man, the problem is with where the stone fell. The kind of a heart it fell on. That's the problem. The problem is with the ground that it fell on. It's not with the Lord. To them gave he power, that were his authority, or power, either one, to become the sons of God. That doesn't mean that after you get saved, you have to do a lot of works to be sure you can keep it. And a lot of people interpret it that way, and that is absolutely, totally, completely, utterly wrong. Even to them that believe on His name. You have got to believe on His name. You've got to believe on His name. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and 12. That's the truth, and hold nothing but the truth, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Nor of the will of man. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm saved. I believe that Jesus was alive, and I believe He was the only one who could save me. And the night that I was saved, all this stuff had been stuffed in my head by Sunday school teachers, so don't give up. And I finally realized He was my personal Savior. I had tried for 4 years to please God. I tried every way I knew in a missionary Baptist church to save him. And finally, when that man preached at that revival, I came to understand. I was saved by the preaching of the Word, and I received Christ because of it. But listen, if you think that you're going to get all truth and everything's just going to be rosy-posy, well, you got another thought coming. So let's go back at Luke 8. Yeah, I am going to get you out of here on time, Lord willing. But let's go back to Luke 8, 10. Well, let's go down to 11. Luke 8 and 11, and I'll give you time to get there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. What? I know. I'll go over this. I'm going to watch you, Kenneth. I want you to watch this.
Learn.
Watch and learn. I didn't call you dummy. I'm sorry you're dummy. Okay. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. There's no problem with that. The Word of God is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He's the same God that created the heaven and the earth. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, this man didn't believe. He didn't receive it. You say, how long did he live? I don't know, but it's a parable. Do you think there are people in the world like this today? I don't think. I know. After all these years in the ministry in 84 years, there's a lot of people that are like this. And they're growing in number every day. Now let's talk about this next fella. Woman or fella, young man, young woman. They on the rock are they which when they hear believe the word with joy. They believe the word with joy. But these have no root. The problem is always with the ground it's sowed on. It's never with the seed. They don't want a root. Well, for a while, which believe, I believe that person's saved. And in time of temptation, fall away. You gotta be somewhere before you fall away from it. You say, have you known anybody like that? I've known a whole world full of them. Lordy mercy. Lordy mercy. They believe and they're saved. You say, well, no, God wouldn't put up with that. God's a lot more gracious than you think. God is a lot more gracious than you think. You say, well, how much of the inheritance will he get? Not much. You say, well, we'll all have the same inheritance. We all can have the same inheritance. But those who serve God and who don't get offended, they're the ones that end up in the city inside the wall. And they're the ones that end up in the actual temple itself. The actual city of God and the place of God's dwelling. Let's go on. You say, well, I don't agree with that. I think they go to hell. Well, that's okay. That's okay. I wouldn't advise you to preach it. But that's okay for you to have it. I wouldn't advise you to preach it, because that's my message for you. He says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares. They develop a root. And riches and pleasures in this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Full perfection. They don't make it. You say, oh, they go to hell. No, they don't go to hell. They produce green fruit. Well, if they go out and tell the truth to people, and people get saved by it, what do they get for telling them? You'll find their motive is 9 times out of 10 wrong. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That's ekpasike, from the soul. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord God. When I first came up here, I didn't know what it meant that you couldn't serve God in the flesh. It means you got to put God first. That's what it ends that chapter with, if you'll go back and look at it. You got to put God first. God doesn't save your carnal nature while you're here in the flesh. But your carnal nature gets resurrected. You say, what part of it? Whatever's left. Whatever's left. You can be cremated. Wind's blown from one end to the other. Don't worry about it. Any man that can just pick up a handful of dirt and of the earth's elements and put it together, you'll take care of that. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. But some people that don't ever have that kind of faith, they keep looking for the truth. And even though it's explained to them, they don't understand it. I didn't understand it till after I got saved. And then I understood it. They bring no fruit to perfection. Now let's take a look at this last one. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Now wait a minute here. We got a contradiction in Scripture. The Bible says that the heart is wicked, deceitful above all things. It says, are they which in an honest and good heart. Aha! Look at what it says next. Having received the word, that's why they've got an honest and good heart. God gave you a new heart. God gave you a new way. God gave you a new life. Now live it. Live it. Let Him live His life in you. He's what you've got. He's what you see. Try to control your temper. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness agape. Listen. He lives in you. You think you're producing those works after you get saved? You say, well, now that I'm saved, I can produce good works. No, God can produce good works in you. And you just have to let Him. He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Quit trying to take the credit yourself. Anything I ever do that's good to the Lord is the one that did it. And I just went along and said, yes, Master, that's all. And I pray all the time that I will let the mind of God be in me. You can't forgive somebody of anything unless you learn that. God will forgive you. And if God forgives you, don't you worry about yourself if you think you can. You can forgive. Because you've understood that God instructs you to forgive. He says, with that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard. That's past tense. Having heard, that's past tense. They've already heard it. That's where they got their honest and good heart. They sure didn't have it when they were born. And bring forth fruit with hypomene. Hypomene, patience. The word means endurance. About half the time in the King James, it's translated endurance. About half the time it's translated patience. They endure to the end. Well, I wish I could have done Geraldine Duke's funeral, but I had another attack with my stomach. I just couldn't do it. Now there was a woman who continued faithful to the end. Brother and Sister George that sat about two rows behind you, Gail, they persisted faithful to the end. And I'm telling you, when you get old, don't feel like you can't be used by God anymore. I paid more attention to old people when I was growing up in our churches than I did to young people. Because they'd bring me cookies. And they'd bring, well, you said, well, that's a kindness, see? I wasn't supposed to have cookies, but they'd bring them to me. I don't think God minded that at all. And the old folks in there would say, Tom Mack, you've been fishing this week? I said, no. They said, well, how about going next week with me? And I'd go fishing with them next week. Not just a little kid. I saw more love in the old people than I saw in the young people. The young people were so busy about the world and the things in it, that they just hit, skip, and miss. I love old people. That's why we have the nursing home program. That's why I love it. I love, love, love old people. I now understand you. I can tell you all about yourself. I've been there, done that. And I understand it. And that's why I'm so desperate at times, because I want people to understand. You don't have to wait till you get old. Timothy was a man who Paul taught, and Timothy was like an old man that was in a young body. I wish we had more young men that were living like Christ and had learned what these people have learned all their lives. I'm very thankful for old people. I love old people. Well, don't you love young people? Sometimes I do, and sometimes, well, you never know. Now he says, no man, when he had lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, and putteth under a bed, and setteth on a candlestick, that they may enter in and may see the light. I can see the light in these two over here that are visiting. I can see the light in Chuck. I can see the light in, believe it or not, Chuck, I can see the light in your brother. There it is. And the truth of the matter is, I can see light in all of you. Everybody puts forth is supposed to put forth the light. There are people in the ministry that don't put forth the light. They put forth their own self-image. They're extremely popular. We used to try to get revivals, people for revivals, and we'd try to get number one, and we usually ended up with the 24th that had the least souls saved. That's who we usually got. This was back in the good old days, back in the 30s. For nothing is secret that it shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now, I'm going to close with this verse. I want you to understand this, because I want you to be accountable for it. I'm accountable for it. If I'm up here preaching and teaching to you for the money, or because it's an easier profession than being out chopping wood, or being a meteorologist or a geologist, if I'm up here preaching this for money, and if I want to be a big man in the ABA, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath what? The ability to serve God. To him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, you're going to be questioned as to how well you used what God gave you. Some of you, God gave 5 talents. Some of you gave 10 talents. Some of you, he gave 1 talent. Use whatever talents you've got for God. You have the ability to serve God here. How would you like to be in heaven and be able to serve God only in a limited manner? There's one thing you've still got inside you from the day you were born. Self. You've got to crucify self, and you've got to let God crucify self, and you've got to learn to come to church, because God gives you the opportunity to come, and you've got to try to learn, and you've got to get out and serve Him. Coming to church is serving God, in case you didn't know it. And how would you like to be in heaven and not be able to serve God as much as other people who did in this life? You say, well, there's some people in the Bible that didn't serve Him and they didn't get much. You're absolutely right. And that's all I got to say. And there's all the notes on here if anybody wants to take it out of there. It's 5 minutes till. Well, good grief, this clock's wrong. Okay. Can you...